grain situation and its impact on the African continent is the direct consequence of the war in Ukraine, which is an imperialist war, which is a war against the Russian people and Russian state by our traditional enemies, Western imperialism.
So I'm just calling upon the West if they could lift the sanction so that, of course, these prices can go down and the low cost of living can be experienced in the country and we all can be comfortable and happy as a country.
And I understand there are other major conflicts, there are people suffering, but also we're talking about almost 30 million people have been affected in this region.
Of course, we in Africa are one with the Russian people. Historically, the Russian people have never colonized us.
The breadbasket of Africa is empty. Wheat and grain are lying in wait, millions of miles away from starving mouths. Russia is doing its best to feed Africa, but Western sanctions on Moscow have emptied the supply lines and are contributing to the biggest genocide in recent history. These are the victims. Hello and welcome to this week's Africa Now show. This week you find us in the Federal Republic of Somalia in the Horn of Africa. We're coming to you from the capital city, Mogadishu. In the next few weeks, by the end of May, as many as 8 million people in Somalia will die from starvation. Almost three times that number, some 21 million people will die across Eastern Africa. The causes being drought, climate change, conflict with the Al-Shabaab terrorist group, and the impact of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And that's what we're focusing on in this week's show. A year on, how has what many here call the Russia-NATO conflict exacerbated the dire situation on the ground? Who is to blame and what is being done to remedy the situation? In Somalia, 90% of the country's wheat comes from Russia and Ukraine, but these supplies are no longer coming. I visited a camp for internally displaced people. I'm here on the outskirts of the capital city of Somalia, Mogadishu, at an internally displaced camp. There are literally tens of thousands of people here, many who've come from all different parts of the country. Now, people started coming here years ago already because of drought, because of famine, because of conflict in their areas. But the situation has deteriorated a lot since the wheat and grain crisis began a year ago following the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Now, all around us is security. They've told us we don't have more than a few minutes here. And as one of them explained to me that within seconds of us arriving, one of the people here was on a cell phone, was warning Al-Shabaab sympathizers or militants themselves that there is a foreign filming crew here and they will be on their way here to watch us and see if it's worth attacking us. So we have a huge security presence with us. We're here for literally just a few moments. The situation here is dire indeed. I've seen children walking around with no shoes. That's commonplace. You have people coming and begging us for food and asking for handouts. You have, as you can see, the conditions in which people are living in these plastic-made tents. I mean, I've never seen a squatter camp quite so dire as this. It's extremely dry. It's extremely hot. This is one of the worst famines and possibly the worst famine that this part of Africa has faced ever in the history, and that's why it's been called the biggest genocide ever. And this is a country that traditionally has grown wheat and grain, but because of climate change, because of world and global politics, and because of the fact that there have been six seasons without rainfall, you have a situation now that no wheat and grain can be grown here. The country is relying and has been relying for years on the wheat and grain that it gets from Russia and Ukraine, and those supplies for the better part of a year have completely dried up. So you're looking at a famine that is going to kill millions of people here. Russian President Vladimir Putin is well aware of the situation and has vowed to increase the export of wheat and grain.
Проблем с вывозом зерна с Украины не существует. Пожалуйста, можно вывозить на через порты, которые находятся под контролем Украины. Ну, прежде всего, это Черноморского бассейна, Одесса и близлежащие порты. Не мы же заминировали подходы к порту. Это Украина заминировала. Я уже много раз говорил всем нашим коллегам. Ну, пусть они разминируют, И, пожалуйста, пускай корабли с зерном, груженные зерном, выходят из портов. Мы гарантируем их мирный проход без всяких проблем. Самое простое – это вывоз через территорию Беларуси. Самое легкое и самое дешевое. Потому что оттуда сразу в порты Прибалтики и в Балтийское море и дальше в любую точку планеты. Но для этого нужно снимать санкции с Беларуси.
And recently, Russia agreed to renew the Black Sea Initiative for another 60 days, during which grain exports can leave via the Black Sea. It follows previous agreements aimed at improving the humanitarian crisis on the ground. I spoke to a Somali political and economic analyst.
There were two agreements, really, that were signed on July 2022, really. And that agreed, the first agreement was memorandum of understanding, really, between the Russian Federation and the United Nations. And Russia was required, really, to facilitate, really, it is a food and fertilizer export, really, to the global market. And the second agreement was, really, what we called a Black Sea Grain Initiative, really. And that agreement was jointly signed, really, by Russian Federation, Ukraine, and Turkey, and was brokered and witnessed, really, by the United Nations. So that agreement, it says, really, Russia to make sure that, really, safe export of grain and fertilizers from Ukraine port, really, to the outside market. So we know that as soon as, really, Russia and Ukraine conflict started, really, absolutely, absolutely, the result was the food crisis, really. So we know that, really, the food crisis have skyrocketed. They have soared rapidly, and it has really affected, really, the poor countries, really.
1 year after Russia invaded Ukraine, a dependent Somalia is still feeling the effect, as the escalating prices of wheat and their long-running regional drought put millions at risk of starvation.
The Russia-Ukraine war has greatly impacted food security, as Somalia has greatly been dependent on imports from Russia and Ukraine. That apart from great reduction of the wheat supply in market, farmers bear the brunt of the sanctions imposed on Russia with increased fuel prices. Since farmers use water pump machines to irrigate their crops, as Somalia is on the precipice of a 6 successive failed rainy season. Ali also voiced that Russia-Ukraine debacle has heavily dented 8 grants the war-torn country used to receive from international donors, as the focus and interest has now shifted to Ukraine. Somalia has been a long-standing recipient of funding from the international community and the organizations, but when other crises come about in the world, the international bodies become spread thin and sometimes fixated on one issue over another. People have even questioned the colossal amounts of money being spent by international donors in buying heavy artillery.
Many African pundits say the biggest instigator behind the crisis is the United States. A reporter in South Africa met up with a former member of the South African National Assembly.
Mr. Mkotama, thank you for your time. Maybe if you can just start by telling us what you make of the wheat and grain crisis that has fueled prices and those poverty levels that we're seeing within the African continent.
Basically, the grain situation and its impact on the African continent is the direct consequence of the war in Ukraine, which is an imperialist war, which is a war against the Russian people and Russian state by our traditional enemies, Western imperialism. So we are suffering in the African continent as a consequence of that war. And of course, it also has an impact on the Russian economy as well. All the progressive people, Russia, Africa, is suffering as a consequence of this war, which is a provocation by Western imperialism in terms of territorial integrity of the Russian people. So the war must be stopped. The Western powers must get out of Russia, must get out of Ukraine. And the Ukraine people and the Russian people are one people and must resolve this whole thing through dialogue.
Do you then agree with the fact that the sanctions imposed upon Russia by the West have actually added, in fact, caused this wheat and grain crisis?
Absolutely. The attack on the Russian economy as part of supposedly supporting the Ukraine transgressions against Russian territorial integrity are part of this. This is a deliberate creation of the Western world against the Russian people. And as a consequence, we in Africa suffer. Of course, we in Africa are one with the Russian people. Historically, the Russian people have never colonized us. The Russian people have stood with us against apartheid. They armed us. They gave us arms to be able to fight for liberation. They gave us sanctuary when the apartheid government was persecuting some of us and gave us even military training. So the African continent and Russia are one. It is not just South Africa. Russia supported many other African countries in their fight against colonialism, against the same Western aggressors who are today directly attacking Russia. That is why the African continent, and I'm very pleased about that, we are very clear that we stand with Russia. And of course, now the whole world is suffering as a consequence of this war. Europe itself is in trouble in terms of its electricity situation because of this war. The war must be stopped, and Russia must be left to run its country without interference from the West.
And maybe just for clarity, are you saying that if it wasn't for these sanctions, we would not be seeing or even experiencing these blockade of exports from Russia and these other places?
Yes, it is a direct consequence of the war. And this war is an aggression by the Western world. And now we're all suffering in terms of our economies, because our economies are interlinked. What happens in Russia has consequences for what happened everywhere in the world. And we know that our relationship with Russia in terms of this commodity of grains and so on, it's critical to the sustenance of the African continent. So the war is directly responsible for the crisis which the world is experiencing, not just in the African continent, even Europe is suffering as a consequence of this war.
And just on that, a lot of people say that the resources that have been provided by the West to Ukraine could have been used to better solve the problems that the African continent is facing, especially in many parts of the African continent where poverty and hunger is really doing the most.
Yes, it is a total misuse of resources by the West. These resources could solve half the problems of the world. But you see, they want to subdue Russia. They need to defeat Russia. Because Russia, together with the BRICS process, is a bloc today against Western imperialism. And Russia is the leading force in that arrangement. So if they defeat Russia, then they will look and weaken the whole non-Western world. And we are part of the BRICS process as part of our claim to national sovereignty, to real liberation for our people's own democracies, which are not influenced by Western imperialism. So the West is attacking Russia precisely to disarticulate this new force which goes against Russia. Russia, India, China, South Africa, together we constitute the majority of the population of the world already. And in terms of the economy, fastest economy, growing economies. And the West is not happy with that. And Russia, since the leading force in the BRICS process, it is being attacked.
And maybe just out of curiosity, what does the new developments of Russia agreeing to extend the Black Sea grain deal for the next 60 days mean for the African continent? Surely that should be seen as a positive, right? Especially considering the impact that this has had on the African continent.
That is a positive development. Russia is really doing positive things under very difficult war situations. The Russian economy is under serious attack, and the Russian economy needs all the resources internally for its own sustenance. But even now, we see that they're extending the hand of solidarity to the African continent. And that is how Russia is always related to the African continent. We are still grateful today for the Russian support for our fight against apartheid right here in South Africa. So the external diplomatic policy of Russia is one which is progressive, which is what we support.
Now, just before we let you go, from an African in Africa and seeing these things before your eyes, what do you think the solution is here?
Yes, this war against the Russian people is a highly wasteful war. These resources which the West is using to subsidize this unjust war, in fact, legitimately belong to the African people and the other underdeveloped countries. The West is always saying that it does not have enough resources to support the development of the Western, I mean, non-Western countries and the African continent, but they have all this money to fight the Russian people in an illegitimate war, which is totally unjustified. We are calling for the West to stop the war against Russia and to redirect those resources which are totally misused into the development of the African continent in particular.
Here in Somalia, the food crisis is being managed by the Somali Disaster Management Agency, SODMA. I met with Mohamed Moalim, its policy and partnership advisor.
It has been a point of debate, and I don't really want to go into direct into European and countries and the aid they provide into Ukraine. But one thing it certainly did is it diverted the attention of poorer countries. And that meant that a lot of the suffering that had been happening were not on the radar of the major donor contributors, such as the EU and United States of America. So I would not necessarily say that, yes, Ukraine happened and everyone else was left out. But what I would say is that it diverted the necessary attention away from people like ours in the region and in Somalia, certainly. And we still don't understand why that we see other media attention is given to other major conflicts. And I understand there are other major conflicts, there are people suffering, but also we're talking about almost 30 million people have been affected in this region by the drought. And if there's no any immediate attention given to that, the situation might be really, really bad. Personally, I think the media attention was not given to this part of the world is simply because of the same reasons as Ukraine in other active conflicts. Plus, I would also think that there has been a lot of what we call donor fatigue, which is the traditional donors as well have been experiencing their own economic issues, and therefore I think their donations have been reduced or cut.
Russia is the world's leading exporter of nitrogen, the second of potassium, and the third of phosphorus fertilizer. So when exports are halted, prices go up, and those prices were already high before the war. We visit disaster-hit areas.
Kenya is among the many countries that have been hit by the wheat and grain crisis. Most of the wheat consumed here is imported from Russia. And with the global sanctions at play, this has left most Kenyans feeling the lash of hunger. We speak to a grain value chain expert and Andrew Kenyans for some answers.
My name is Happiness Odawa, and of course, as we all know, at the moment we're experiencing the global sanctions that's preventing the importation of wheat into the country. You realize this causes inflation in the wheat products. Vitu kama mkate, they become very expensive. And now we're facing hunger as a country. This is a situation that many Kenyans are going through that is affecting the normal livelihood of the common mwananchi. So I'm just calling upon the West if they could lift this sanction so that of course, these prices can go down and the low cost of living can be experienced in the country and we all can be comfortable and happy as a country.
Number one, even if I speak about something like a basic commodity like bread, the price of bread is worrying me. Today, a bread that I could take 7 years ago at 40 shillings, right now I'm taking at 65 shillings. And the funny bit of it is that the cost of living is going high. What I get as a trader, what I get maybe as an employee, has remained constant. This affects me in a manner that is better imagined than experience.
Due to wheat crisis, the cost of living has gone up, like the extra which we used to buy at a cost of 140 shillings, now is around 210 shillings. So the cost of living, it has grown up.
I actually deal with the snacks. I sell hot dogs and also smokies. You find that they have given the price is on a high price. We buy at a high price in such a way that you find that even it affects our customers.
As efforts and mechanisms to avert this disaster continue, and with Kenya now not being able to import the much-needed wheat to feed our populace, the citizens here are left bearing the brunt of overpricing and high levels of hunger and poverty.
The sanctions imposed on Russia by the Western countries will further exacerbate commercial flows between Russia and Africa due to the closure of vital port operations. In Ethiopia, beyond the increment in wheat, petroleum, edible oil, the price of fertilizer highly increased. Russia is the biggest exporter of nitrogen-based fertilizer and the second and the third most important global supplier of potassium and phosphate. The Russian-Ukraine war has impeded supply and led to global increase in their prices.
I mean, everything has gone through the roof. The supply chain was disrupted, you know, food supply, fertilizer, petroleum, which is Ethiopia dependent, the three most important, the biggest import in Ethiopia are these things. You know, we need probably the second biggest importer of fertilizer into Africa, next to probably South Africa. We are 120 million people, the second biggest population in Africa. So we need, we import quite a lot of product. And then also we don't have any oil. So we are dependent on imported oil. I mean, the oil price was 31 bur. It's now about 60 bur. So it just doubled the price. In fact, still there is some level of subsidy in the market. So if we start paying the full price of the fuel, it probably will go even higher, unless the crude oil price coming down. So those are the things which we are now facing. The trade between the two countries has to increase, because at the end of the day, Russia is the big producer of steel, metal kind of things, fuel. I mean, fuel is probably we're buying it from neighboring countries, Sudan, and then Saudi and sort of thing, maybe transportation is easier. But wheat is a big product. I mean, the two countries, Ukraine and then Russia, claim to be producing 40% of the global wheat production and so on and so on. I don't think it's directly affected Ethiopia at the moment, except the price rise into supplying. I don't know where the Ethiopian wheat is coming, but from different places.
The war between Russia and Ukraine and the West sanctions on Russia forced the Ethiopian government to make a policy shift. For instance, wheat production is encouraged. A similar measure would be to replace imported nitrogen-based fertilizers with local substitutes like animal waste and composts. Bisrat Melissa, RT, Addis Ababa.
Even one of the most powerful economies in Africa, being South Africa, is not exempt from feeling the ripple effects of a worldwide shortage in wheats and grains that was both created and then exacerbated by the length of this conflict. We travel now to the southern tip of Africa.
Now, with many African countries importing as much as 50% of their wheat from Russia and Ukraine, maize meal as a staple food in Africa has now become unaffordable to many people. The continued high price of maize meal in some areas of the continent means that it could soon be off the menu.
This situation has gotten out of hand, and it's not the mealy meal that has gotten expensive. It's oil and other essential commodities. 10 kgs of maize meal lasts me less than 2 weeks, and it cost me more than 100 South African rands. And remember, I use the cheapest brands, but even that doesn't help. I eat the staple food for 2 to 3 times a day, Mdanam. But the way it's getting so expensive, I worry that one day I'll wake up and won't be able to even afford the smallest bag of maize meal. Every week the prices differ, and it's getting harder and harder to even eat like I used to. All I want to do is use it in small amounts or without wasting any more. I don't even know more about the trade and exports, but when I heard about people talking about the Black Sea development, I got a bit happy because that would mean more wheat grain in Africa, which means prices will go down. Is it true? I'm really praying and wishing that things could go back to normal because I'm nothing without maize meal. I wake up and use it for my breakfast. Even before I go to bed, this is the last thing I have in the house. My entire life and existence depends on maize meal.
Now, it's clear that informal settlements within the African continent are the hardest hit, with nothing to replace the traditional maize meal. Africa's staple is now becoming a luxury that an increasing number of people cannot afford anymore. And this increases on a daily basis. For RT, Nolu Vuyokunge in Johannesburg.
Well, that brings us to the end of this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it, and if not enjoyed, at least learn something. If you missed last week's episode, we looked at the American dollar's declining influence and use in Africa as more and more countries search for alternatives, either in the form of a common BRICS currency or choosing a few African currencies to trade in. Next week, we come to you again from Somalia, but this time we explore this little-known country that is a no-go on international advisories. And as you can hear the firefight behind me, you can always find us on our social media handles. Until next week, from me and the team, from a gun-friendly and gun-happy country, goodbye, stay safe, and stay with RT.